My Holiday from Hell features no nudity and no family. It's just two people and a third, Freud. It's Christmas 1996, like Therese's, and my husband and I are living in Charles Village. This is in 1996. We were way ahead of the curve when it came to gay marriage. We got married in 1995 in the garden of the house where Noxzema was invented. And he designed the rings. We had a country western swing band, a high tea, all the things we were. My husband was and is a psychiatrist training to be a psychoanalyst, and he was in analysis himself, and that's the 4 days a week lying down talking about your dreams. And on our first date, he said that I didn't have a personality disorder. And for somebody like me, that was a turn on. But Christmas 1996, well, anyway, I'm big with the gifts. I think I got this from my father, Fred, who loved to spend money and loved to show his love with showy gifts. There was the Christmas in 1970 where he bought the family skis, which we used three or four times. And then the next Christmas, 1971, he got my mother a mink jacket. And this was like, oh my God, a mink coat. And so I was in fifth grade and I'd watched way too much Love American Style. I said, oh, you have a girlfriend, Dad? Because that seemed like a real cause and effect, guilty about the mistress, get the wife a fur coat. Everyone thought that was hilarious. Of course, it was true. He was fucking a cocktail waitress named Josephine with kids of her own, and he was gone by the end of January. So I'm big with the gifts. So I decide this Christmas in 1996 to get my husband a copy of Freud's Standard Edition. I don't know if you know what that is, but that's everything that Freud wrote and thought. It's 20 volumes. It's like the holy grail for psychiatrists. It's like getting a chef the world's best set of knives. I was working at Center Stage at the time, not making any money. I called his psychoanalytic training institute where he was training and said, where could I get my hands on a standard edition, because a new standard edition 10 years ago cost between $2,000 and $3,000. But luckily, they clued me to this bookstore in Annapolis. They had a used copy of the standard edition, and I figured, like, psychiatry used books, you know, they're not going to beat them up. So it should be in pretty good condition. Anyway, so I call Annapolis. It's $860. I write a check. He's going to love it. And I figured this Christmas we have a lot to be celebrating, because after 11 years of living with HIV, it looks like I'm going to make it through the plague. The previous Christmas, 1990, let's contextualize. The previous Christmas, I had 17 T cells. That's about the size of a kindergarten. I could have named them all. But in the year after that, that was when combination therapy came along, and I was one of the first people on combination. At Center Stage, it didn't pay me a lot, but I had great health insurance. I discovered in December of that year that I had a viral load, which was an indicator I hadn't even been aware of. I just took the drugs on faith, of 100. As opposed to 750,000 or 2 million, which is what other people living with HIV or full-blown AIDS had. So it looks like I'm going to make it through the plague, because clearly the clock had been ticking with 11 years at that time. We sort of plan on a graceful, dignified fade-out in our Charles Village townhouse. Christmas Eve, or no, actually the 23rd, the standard edition arrives. It's like so beautiful. It's 20 volumes. The cover, the dust jackets, I'm a total book queen. The dust jacket is a Wedgwood blue. The bindings are a dark Gideon Bible blue, if your Gideon Bible happens to be blue instead of red or green. Gorgeous, dense, thick thought. Thousands of footnotes. He's going to love it. So I thought, oh, well, let's wrap it. So I go running around the house in one of our 17 Mission armoires. There were a lot of them. It was his taste, not mine. So I go to the armoire in his office. He sees patients on the first floor. And I, you know, open and I think, well, first of all, I think, well, should I wrap each one individually? But there's kind of diminishing returns after number one or number two. Oh, the third volume of 20. So I decide to wrap it in a big box. And so I find the wrapping paper, but the other thing that I find in this Mission Armoire's office is porn tape. Now, I have an issue with porn. I can't help it. It goes back to my stepfather, a psychologist, go figure. The way he used to humiliate my mother with the Vivas and the Penthouses and the Wees and all that trash of the 70s. So I have a problem with it. In fact, when we were first dating and maybe a month into our relationship, I opened the wrong drawer in a dresser and it was like, all this porn. And it was like a flashback to my teenage years. But I thought, oh, well, we're in love. I can fix this. You know, I might, but I'm not going to make an issue of this at Christmas because I think here's a VHS tape and we don't have a television. So Christmas morning, the cats wake us up, and my husband opens the standard edition and his response is, you're kidding. He said, you're kidding. I said no, but he doesn't seem to love the standard edition the way I want him to. How do I want him to? I'm not sure. It's like, oh, I love you. This is the most thoughtful gift anyone has ever given. Nobody outside of a psychiatrist would think of this as the best gift ever. Let's have sex in front of the standard edition. Doesn't happen. I can't even remember what he got me. But his indifference to this standard edition, this pricey standard edition, adds to the bomb I feel we're sitting on with the porn tape. But I decide to wait till St. Stephen's Day, Boxing Day, December 26th, to say, what is this? Is there a television we have that I'm not aware of? And he said he watched it at work at his office in the Rotunda. And then we had a discussion. We were terrible fighters, glacial. So they weren't really discussions. They were sort of like one-sided papal bulls. And this is what I heard. I remember very clearly sitting in a metal folding chair, paint spattered, next to a beautiful stickly armoire in our bedroom. That was our house. Beautiful pieces and then absolute trash. And I remember leaning my head to the side, breathing with my mouth open as I listened, and he said, I'm feeling hopeless about the marriage. I want it to be over. I was never happy with you. I have to work too fucking hard to get any air. You are completely invalidating. I deserve better than this. And then I said, and maybe the tiniest voice I have ever made, I said, what would have happened if I'd gotten sick? And then he said, I would have stayed. And then I said, in an even tinier voice, lucky for you, I got better, huh? And then he said, how soon can you be out of here? So my father left by the end of January. I was packing before New Year's, and I wish I'd taken the ring that he had designed and shoved it in the spindle of that VHS tape, or I wish I'd taken three of his magazines, you know, Honcho, Freshman, Latin Inches, and shoved it in between the magazines in the magazine rack where his patients were so that they would see it, report him, and get him drummed out of the Maryland psychiatric fucked-up psychiatrists who have porn addicts association. But I didn't. That's what I wish I could have done. What I do remember packing is sitting in the kitchen and packing up a set of glass mixing bowls. He was the cook. I had the appliances. Thinking, he's really going to miss me when he can't make pancakes. See, the thing is, when you get left by somebody, if they're way ahead of the game, they're just way ahead of it. There's no way to catch up. And I believed by getting married in 1995, when our rights were not even recognized by the state of Maryland, getting married in the garden of the house where Noxzema was invented, in front of 125 people, that when you get into trouble, you work on it. You hit the wall, maybe, but you work on it in sickness and in health. But if the person who's leaving you is a psychiatrist, even one with a porn habit, and you were raised Catholic, then anything they ever said about you is totally true and there's no way to fight back. Even with or without a standard edition, they hold all the cards. And if there's no closure, it'll always hurt. It'll always be a holiday from hell. So, what's the first rule of life is never date an actor. The second rule is, and take it from Captain Bringdown here, never, ever marry a therapist. It can get expensive. Happy holidays. Oh, wait. Telling this story has taken the hex off this wedding ring that I haven't known what to do with for 10 years. But now I know what to do with it. If you catch it, the hex is off. Give it to somebody you love. Give it to somebody you hate. Give it to somebody who needs it. Put it on eBay. But I'm done with it!